Have you ever felt that uncomfortable sensation when someone stands too close, asks invasive questions, or demands more of your time than you want to give? That discomfort isn't you being too sensitive. It's your boundary system functioning exactly as nature designed it. Boundaries mark the essential limits between what belongs to us and what belongs to others, forming the fundamental architecture of all human relationships. They take countless forms. Physical, please don't touch me without asking. Emotional, I need space to process this. Intellectual, I don't want to debate politics at family gatherings, and beyond. What makes boundaries so fascinating is their fluidity. They change across relationships, evolve throughout our lives, and shift depending on context. When we fail to establish them, resentment inevitably builds. When we honor them, we create the conditions for authentic connection. That gut feeling warning you about boundary violations isn't just psychological. It's hardwired into your neurobiology. Your amygdala triggers your fight-flight-freeze response when boundaries are threatened. Brain imaging confirms this, and patients with damaged amygdalas lack normal physical boundary recognition. Those visceral sensations, racing heart, tears, chills, breathing difficulties, are transmitted through the vagus nerve. While your conscious mind processes only about 50 bits of the 11 million bits of data you receive each second, your subconscious attends to far more. If boundaries are natural, why do so many struggle with them? Most human societies operate on a dominator model, where hierarchies are maintained through force or threat of force. These power dynamics appear everywhere, from families to workplaces to governments. When we establish boundaries, we become revolutionary by asserting our personhood deserves respect regardless of social position. All equal rights movements began with boundary statements. Abolition, my body belongs to me. Voting rights, my voice deserves to be heard. Desegregation, I deserve equal access. While we're gradually shifting toward consent culture, we still predominantly live in what scholars call rape culture, a society that tolerates or excuses boundary violations. The shift from power over to power with relationships represents a profound cultural evolution visible in modern parenting, workplaces valuing work-life balance, and relationship models emphasizing mutual respect. Our earliest relationships create templates for our boundary approaches. About 60% develop secure attachment, comfortable with others, dependable, with healthy, flexible boundaries. Around 20% develop avoidant attachment, difficulty trusting, discomfort with closeness, and rigid boundaries. Another 20% develop anxious attachment, fear of abandonment, craving closeness, with permeable boundaries designed to please others. Many experience combinations, with boundaries fluctuating between rigid and permeable depending on triggers. Someone might maintain rigid time boundaries but permeable emotional ones. While childhood attachment moderately correlates with adult patterns, these aren't fixed. Mindfulness can help rewire these reactions. Anxious attachment often leads to boundary struggles from fear of rejection, while avoidant attachment can create overly rigid boundaries that prevent meaningful connection. Trauma or social conditioning can interfere with interpreting boundary signals. Those whose boundaries were routinely violated might ignore warning signs or misinterpret them as normal. Learning to recognize and honor physical sensations is the first step toward healthier boundaries. Your body often senses boundary violations before your conscious mind can articulate them. Approximately 15% of people have high conflict personalities, HCPs, individuals whose worldview makes conflict seem like a viable option for getting needs met. They exhibit limited emotional self-control, feeling emotions with intense magnitude, limited behavioral self-control, engaging in reactive behaviors designed to control others, black and white thinking, categorically labeling things as entirely good or completely bad, and consistently externalizing responsibility, viewing problems as external to themselves. People with permeable boundaries often attract HCPs because they'll absorb enough conflict that the HCP doesn't have to examine their own behavior. This creates a dangerous dynamic where boundary violations become normalized. Understanding high-conflict personalities helps us recognize when boundary issues stem from the other person's patterns rather than our own communication failures. A simple but powerful tool for identifying potential controllers is the no test, observing how someone responds the first time you tell them no. While disappointment is normal, attempting to force a yes signals potential control issues. Communication is the practical mechanism for establishing boundaries. Three primary styles correlate with boundary types: aggressive communication, rigid boundaries, I'm important and you're not; passive communication, permeable boundaries, you're important and I'm not; and assertive communication, flexible boundaries, we're both important, even when we disagree. For effective boundary communication, use this formula: I feel, when you, what I want is. This approach encourages taking responsibility for your feelings rather than blaming others. Expressing what you actually want creates more options for dialogue than simply saying no. Compare "ugh, no" to "I'm really in the mood for a hamburger. We could go there or grab takeout from both places." The second approach requires vulnerability but creates possibilities for mutual satisfaction. When trust is lacking, the BIFF response works well: brief, informative, friendly, and firm. When communication techniques fail with certain people, try protective strategies like the Grayrock method, making yourself as boring as possible to deprive boundary violators of the emotional reactions they seek. After examining our own boundaries, we must consider how we respond to others' boundaries, a crucial but often overlooked aspect of healthy relationships. Nobody enjoys rejection, but accepting no gracefully is fundamental. Try acknowledging your feelings with self-compassion rather than suppressing them. Putting no in proper perspective, recognizing it's usually rejection of a specific request, not your entire personhood, learning from the boundary you've encountered, and communicating understanding without wheedling or pouting. The STFU technique offers practical guidance: share time, divide conversation time equally, 3 seconds, count to three during pauses before speaking, find empathy, listen for both content and context, and understanding is not necessary. Accept that you don't always need to get someone else's perspective to respect it. Implementing these practices requires consistent effort and self-awareness. Regular check-ins with yourself about how well you're honoring others' boundaries can help identify areas for improvement. We've all violated boundaries and had our own boundaries violated. Guilt isn't a sign of irredeemability, but a signal that work needs to be done. True accountability means accepting responsibility for harm caused and repairing it. This involves listening non-defensively to others' experiences, examining our patterns, and breaking cycles of toxic behavior. Genuine apologies avoid justifications, "I'm sorry, but," and instead take full ownership. The vision is a world where discussing our boundaries, needs, and consent becomes as normal as talking about the weather. While achieving this evolutionary shift requires massive personal and societal change that might feel overwhelming, the work begins with determining what we truly want in life and how to communicate those desires while respecting others. Remember that regardless of your past conditioning or current circumstances, you always have the power to make choices that serve your best interests. Your boundaries aren't just personal preferences. They're the essential foundation for your dignity, your relationships, and ultimately your freedom. The revolution begins with your next yes or no. Choose wisely.